Hi, I'm Frank, and I'm the pastor of Real Life Church in beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. My life wasn't always like this. Years ago, I was a hard-living, unsaved young archaeologist living in Jerusalem, Israel. Everything was going well for me, and I was very successful, but unhappy and unfulfilled on the inside. Here I was, excavating the Bible, specifically palaces and fortresses of King Herod the Great. I was walking in the footsteps of Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. However, everything changed the day I asked the Lord into my life. And now, I invite you to go on the journey with me as we study the Word of God with insight and revelation drawn from the years that I spent as an archaeologist in Israel. Welcome to Real Life Radio, where we apply God's Word to our real lives. Signed by the author. An author is the writer, the creator, the inventor. Writer, creator, inventor. An author, each author has their own style, has their own vocabulary. If someone writes, as I mentioned, the name almost came to me, but not quite. If they write in dialect, they have a particular vocabulary. For example, Ernest Hemingway used to use the word gay a lot. He didn't mean homosexual. Back in, I don't know when he was writing, 30s. Yeah, 30s, because he was writing about the Spanish Civil War. He was, and the First World War. He was using the word gay, but he was talking about happy. So he had a particular vocabulary. A plot. The author is solely responsible for the plot. The way the twists and turns, the characters that are introduced, the author responsible for that. The author determines the genre. Okay, if I say the name Stephen King to you, most of you know what genre that is, right? That's like scary stuff. I never read anything by him, but it's all horror. C.S. Lewis, it's Christian. You immediately know the genre, C.S. Lewis. So the author is responsible for style, vocabulary, plot, genre, and the outcome. No matter how much we want a happy ending, if the author doesn't give the happy ending, there's no happy ending. If the author wants you to be confused at the end, the author writes in a confusing ending. Or the author writes in a happy ending. Most books, most movies follow the same pattern. You just think about it in your bare bones terms. You are introduced to the characters. Everything's great. Everything's good. Everything's going along just well. And then tragedy strikes. And some people go down the tubes, but others, usually the main characters in the story, they not only survive, they thrive, they overcome, and they end with hope and a future. Sounds like my life from my unbelieving days to my believing days. But that's generally, it follows the same pattern. And no matter how many variants of that pattern, we still watch them, we still read them, we still enjoy the story. Now, Exodus 31, verse 18 says this. He gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tablets of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God. So from almost the very beginning, we see that God writes. He's an author. He wrote the first tables of stone. He is an author. He writes. Interestingly, we know that regardless of what some archaeologists would say about ancient Israel, they could read. They could write. God did not just communicate this to Moses in thought. He wrote it down. Obviously, Moses could read. He was able to read. Jesus could read and write. Jesus stood up in the synagogue and read the Torah scroll. So these people were not illiterate. They knew how to read and to write and to communicate. So when God wanted to communicate the law, the Torah, he gave it to Moses, who wrote it down. Moses is an author. God began. He is the first author that we see. If we look at Jeremiah 33, I'm just going to go through and give you about three different places to identify God as an author, and then we're going to talk about what that means to us. Jeremiah 33, I'm sorry, Jeremiah 31, verse 33. Jeremiah 31, verse 33. I automatically say 33:3 because it's one of my favorite scriptures, but it's 31, verse 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law into their inward parts. All right, now not only is the law going to be on two tables of stone, but he says, and I will write it in their hearts. I will write, God as an author, not just writes the law on two tables of stone for us to read, but writes in our hearts that we can live the law. And I'm not talking about the law in a negative sense right now. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. We know that we were changed from unbelievers to believers, from lost to saved, when we internalized the gospel. When we read the Bible, that's wonderful, but it does nothing for us until we receive it on the inside. When we believe in our hearts that Jesus is alive, raised from the dead, and say that out loud with our mouths, that's when we're born again. That's when we're changed. That's when we're forgiven and saved. It's got to be in our hearts. That's why Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the Lord says he is not just going to be an author of an exterior book, but he's going to be an author of an interior book, which is going to be written on the inside of us. How exciting is this scripture? Let's look at one more. Hebrews chapter 8, going into the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. And I'm going to look at one verse again, verse 10. For this is the covenant. In the mouth of two or three witnesses is every word established. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. What's the difference? When his law is in our mind, we can make the choice whether to believe it or not, whether to accept it or not, whether to obey it or not. But when it's in our hearts, it's a little bit different. Our hearts, it's out of the heart, is all the issues of life. I will write it in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be my people. This is when we read this book, when we have this book written by God on the inside, that's when everything changes. Now, Hebrews, you don't need to turn. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. There the Bible calls him an author. And that's our jumping off point for the rest that I want to speak to you about today. Our faith is our walk. Our faith is our life. Our faith is not just what we believe. When we appropriate this faith that Jesus is the author of, we become like him. We begin to think like him. We begin to walk like him. We begin to see like him. We begin to expect like him. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's almost as if there's various parts of the country, and Pastor Mary Beth and I used to go to these in Maryland years ago, something called a Renaissance Fair. When you go to a Renaissance Fair, you go, it's usually in the hot summer, so you go, you know, in your regular clothes. But when you get there, all the people that work the fair, they're all dressed in Renaissance clothing. And they speak to you, usually in British accents. I don't know why, but they do. Well, there wasn't much Renaissance here, I guess. It was over there. But the Renaissance, and they have different activities. Like, they don't just sell you a sandwich. There are no sandwiches. You can't get a sandwich at the Renaissance Fair, but you can get a turkey leg. And you walk around gnawing on a turkey leg. You can't do something like go to a shooting gallery at a Renaissance Fair, but you can go to an archery gallery. Something like that. So everything is back in the Renaissance. They're all in Renaissance clothes. You can hear Renaissance music. Everybody has put on the Renaissance. If you go to Colonial Williamsburg, you go to Colonial Williamsburg and you sit in a little coffee shop, Chalmers, I think it's called, Chalmers Coffee, and you're sipping a coffee, there's a guy who comes and sits down dressed in colonial clothing. And he'll ask you where you're from. Now, if you say, I'm from Pittsburgh, he says, what country is that? Because at that time of Williamsburg, there was no Pittsburgh. If you say, I'm from Washington, D.C., they'll say, is that somewhere in Europe? Because there was no Washington, D.C. In fact, Colonial Williamsburg was the capital of America for, I don't know, how, a month or so? Before Washington was. So they have put on the costume and put on the attitude as if they were back at 1776. When we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, we put on the power of God, the vocabulary of God, the style of God. We are in the Spirit. We don't pretend. We don't put on an air. We don't walk around like movies, you know, like your eyes are in the clouds. There's one song we sing, and every time we sing it, I can't remember what it was, but I was thinking of it. We sang it last week. All I see is, I don't remember their names, but it's from The Robe. You know the old biblical movie, The Robe? At the very end, Charlton Heston, what is it? Who? Yeah, Burton, Richard Burton. He's the guy who gets saved. Praise the Lord, it's a good movie, gets saved. But he's going to his death, and he's walking up the stairs. This Caligula is shouting at him, and his eyes are there in the heavens, and suddenly he's in the clouds. So there are a lot of people that act like that. A lot of believers act like that. Our head is not in the clouds. We are here in the world, not of the world, but in the world to change the world. Not to be like the world, to change the world. So, our walk. Jesus is the author of our walk. He's the author of our life. Which means, as the author, our faith has style, vocabulary, plot, genre, outcome, but also a sequel. Our genre is real life. This is not make-believe. It's not fiction. Pastor Mary Beth was talking about FaceTime. Every time when I think of FaceTime and I think of what we have today and I think of our kids will not understand this when I say this. They won't know what I'm talking about. But those of you of a certain generation will recognize, meet George Jetson. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you know what I'm talking about? No, I didn't think so. How old do you have to be to know what you're talking about, George Jetson? 45? Got to be about 45? 25? You know what it is? That's because your dad. James, you know what meet George Jetson, you know what I'm talking about? Okay, James knows what it is. George Jetson, he had that video phone. He could call his office from his house and they saw each other. And when we were watching that as little kids, it was like, wow. Now you do it every day. Every time somebody FaceTimes me, I say, meet George Jetson. No, I don't really, but I feel like it. George Jetson had a microwave. Remember? He'd take that little pill and he'd put it into the thing, close, and it would ding, and out would come a full meal. Well, we haven't gotten down to the little pill, but I don't know if you all get those. Do you all get those ads on your, you know, in your email for the, like, the guy, he has a wheelbarrow, and he's got, like, 10 years of meals in that wheelbarrow, and there are all these things, and they're all supposed to be delicious, and they last for 100 years. They're going to last through the nuclear war. They're going to last through everything. You know, that stuff. Anyway, George Jetson. So, this is real life. It's not science fiction. It's not horror. Maybe some, hey, if your life is horror, if your genre is horror, I got news for you. You can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Because the enemy's under our feet. This is not a medical mystery. It's not even a mystery. It's not a mystery story. We know the ending. We know the outcome. So it's not a mystery genre. It's not a comedy and it's not a tragedy. It's real life. The style. What kind of style is it? It's not a rough, gruff style. Ernest Hemingway had just a rough style. C.S. Lewis has a wonderful... Anybody ever read The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis? Screwtape Letters, it's all about demons in hell. And how what they're talking to each other and they're answering their commander about trying to get Christians to sin. And the various ways they're going to do it and what they're going to do. But they had some of the most interesting names. I think one was called Slobgub. That was one of the demons, Slobgub. Something like that. Just, that was a certain genre. Well, our style is positive. Our style is not, oh, woe is me. I'm holding on until Jesus gets back. I'm going to, you know I'm beaten up. I'm broke. I got nothing. I got nobody, but I'm going to make it, praise the Lord. One day, some way, somehow, in the sweet by and by. Okay, that may be true. That's not our genre. That's not our style. Our style is, I can do all things. Yeah, the enemy may be coming against me like a flood, but the Spirit of the Lord raises a standard in the midst, and the waves are not going to knock my house down, and the wind is not going to blow my house down, because I have built on the rock by believing God's word, hearing God's word, acting upon God's word. Our style is positive. Our style is upbeat. We're going to walk around with a smile on our face. We're not going to walk around with the load of the world on our shoulders, because he said, cast all your cares on me. So we're going to walk around like we know who we are, we know who we're serving, and we know where we're going. And we have what everybody else needs. We walk around like we have the answer. We may not have all the answers, but we know the one who does. So we're upbeat. We walk around, our style is can do. We can do all things through Jesus Christ. Our style is, I can. I can. Not I can't. I'm unable. I'm too weak. I don't know enough. I don't know enough people. I don't know the right people. I have no access. I have no power. We have Jesus. Praise the Lord. We got all we need. We can do all things. So it's a can-do style. And it's a miraculous style. The miracles haven't passed away. I'm living proof of that. You all know 15 years ago I should have died from cancer. You all know the surgeon said they couldn't remove it all. They got some of it out but couldn't take it all out because it was touching too many parts of my body. You all know that the Spirit of God spoke to me that very same night and said, you shall live and not die and declare the wonderful works of God. For I sent my word and healed you and delivered you from all destruction, both from the book of Psalms. And you know that 3 days later I walked out of the hospital cancer free. Absolutely cancer free. This is miraculous. This is the power of God. You all know the miracles he's done in your lives. You all know how Sherry's been healed. You all know how you've been healed from various things whenever you would pray and trust and believe God. We walk in the miraculous. You've walked into miraculous provision. You've seen that the Lord's never let the righteous be forsaken, nor is he begging bread. You know that he provides answered prayer. You know that he provides the promises of God. You know that it comes about miraculously. So our style is miraculous. What about our vocabulary? We got to have the same vocabulary as the author. The author sets the style. The author sets the genre. The author provides the vocabulary. Our vocabulary is not poor and unable. Our vocabulary is powerful. We call those things that be not as though they are. We speak with the power of the Holy Spirit. Our vocabulary is powerful. Our vocabulary is positive. Our vocabulary is faith-filled. We walk by faith, not by sight. We don't walk by tragedy. We may encounter tragedy. We may find ourselves in the valley of the shadow of death, but we're passing through it. We're not going to it. We're passing through it. And we come out on the other side. We come out in the victory. We come out in the healing. We come out in the breakthrough. We come out in the provision. We may face a Goliath, but Goliath's coming down in the name of Jesus. We may be like a Gideon, but we rise up. No matter how pitiful we think we are, how unable we think we are, we rise up in him, and we can do it in Jesus' name. So our vocabulary is powerful, positive, faith-filled, and possibility. There are books about possibility thinking in the natural. We have possibility thinking in the supernatural. All things are possible. What's impossible for man, the Word of God says, is possible for God. Either we believe that or we don't. Either God's Word is true or it's not. I believe it's true. I believe that when doctors can't, God can. I believe that when we can't, God can. I believe that when we run out of options, God's full of options. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. He will provide the way. He will provide the truth. He is the life. He's the author. He's written the story of our lives. He is not going to let us fall. He has not written a tragedy. He has not written us off. He has hope and a future, according to Jeremiah. Now the plot. What about the plot? This is where a lot of people are confused. When we run into difficulties, when we run into things that are difficult, we don't want to do, we don't want to go through them. When we run into things that break our heart, Lord, how could you let this happen to me? Life happens. Things happen. We still live in the world where the world happens. But we know and believe and trust that when the world happens, God happens bigger. God happens better. And what the enemy means for evil, God turns into good. and brings us through to the victory. We come out stronger. Jesus went into the wilderness, fasted, prayed 40 days. He was hungering. He was weak. The enemy tempted him over and over and over. And the scripture says he came out in the power of the Spirit. The Lord lets us, allows us, writes into the story things that we need to overcome. Anybody who's ever lifted weights, you overcome that. You lift, it tears your muscles down. When they grow back, they're bigger. Anybody who has ever run, the first time you went, you'd say, okay, I'm going to get my life together. I am going to get physically fit. I am going to begin jogging at 5 a.m. every morning. Why are you laughing? Doesn't everybody jog at 5 a.m.? Okay, 4 a.m. There you go. You get up at 5. Pastor Jeff gets up at 5 and jogs. That's why he's on his way to his next marriage. Stays physically fit. So the first day you get out and jog, I don't think you're going to do 5 miles. If you haven't been jogging in 20 years, I don't think you're going to do 5 miles that first day. You might be do 5 blocks if you're good. I mean, that might be about it. But the more you do it, you overcome that. You build up your cardio. You build up your respiratory. And you can go further and further and further. Same thing with faith. When our faith is tested, it gets stronger. When our faith is used, it gets stronger. When we use our faith, we grow our faith. It's like a muscle. So the Lord does write plot twists into our lives that we can be better, stronger, more in the Spirit, and more dependent upon Him. He doesn't want us to suffer. He doesn't want us to have tragedy. He doesn't want us to be sad. In fact, He says He's with us in times of trouble to deliver us. Do I quote that every service or what? I don't know. We're every morning we do a scripture at the table. We read through, and we don't go from Genesis to Revelation. We're in the New Testament, and when we finish the New Testament, we move to Psalms. And so now, yesterday, we're up to Psalm 91. And of course, that's in Psalm 91. And I said to the kids, do you hear me say this all the time or what? I just love the scripture. The Lord is with us in time of trouble. Think about friends that abandoned you when you came into trouble. You know, before you were saved and you were a kid, Ken, and the police were after you. Hunter, close your ears. And you had friends that ditched you and you took the rap. I don't know if that's true or not. I'm just by faith. I don't know. I just got that. That was a word of what? Knowledge of your past? I don't know. Anyway, there are friends that ditch you when things go wrong. Except God. He never leaves us, never forsakes us. He's with us in times of trouble to deliver us. To deliver us. So, our vocabulary, possibility, our plot. We overcome all obstacles. The plot. Yes, we face things, but we overcome. God does not write tragic plots for anybody. The devil does. It all depends what book you're reading. Whether you're reading the world's book or the Lord's book. He provides overcoming every obstacle. Yes, there's going to be some ups and downs and obstacles, but praise God, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The outcome is victorious. The outcome is feel good. Don't you like, you know, every once in a while I have to watch a feel good movie? You know what I mean? The movie that might have you in tears in the middle of the movie, but you want at the very end just to feel good. They write those feel good movies. Well, God has written a feel good plot for us. Well, He doesn't leave us in the depths of despair. He brings us up to victory. And then the sequel. How many sequels were there to... Now, listen, you might think I'm really weird, but I have never seen a Star Wars movie, ever. But I know that there's like, how many sequels to that? How many Star Wars? Are there 7 of them now? Ken, how many Star Wars? 10? No, they ran out of sequels. They started writing what they call prequels, right? Which was before the first. I don't know how that happened, but anyway, God has a sequel. It's called heaven. There is a sequel to this world, a sequel to what we're doing here. It's called heaven. That's the best part. Now, before I finish, it's called signed by the author. Have you ever wondered why they have book signings? Do you ever wonder why authors sit in bookstores and sign books? Do you know that A few years ago, there was a, you know, ridiculous book, Da Vinci Code. Do you know a signed copy of Da Vinci Code goes for $15? Not much, huh? But there, if you have a signed copy of James Joyce, anybody who's James Joyce, you should have read some James Joyce when you were in high school and forgot about it for the rest of your life. He wrote a book called Ulysses. A signed copy of Ulysses goes for $540,000. An unsigned copy of Ulysses goes for about 10 bucks. The reason authors sign books is it increases their value. It increases their value. We have been signed and sealed by the Lord. Matthew 22, 20. You don't have to turn. Matthew 22, 20. The Lord is looking at a coin, and he says to the people around him, whose picture and whose name is on that coin? And they say, Caesar's. And he says, well, then give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Give to God what belongs to God, which is implying that for the believer, his name and his signature is on this volume, this book, which makes us more valuable. More valuable to the church, more valuable to the world, more valuable to the kingdom of God.
Well, we have to stop there for today, but I want to share a miracle that took place during this service. If you remember, I mentioned Williamsburg, Virginia. Now, I had no idea that we had a family visiting from Williamsburg, Virginia. And when the Lord, through me, spoke that, they knew they were in the right place at the right time. They understood that that message was just for them. After the service, I received their visitor card, and I looked and was shocked to see that they were from Williamsburg. And so I sent them a text, and they said, yes, the Lord did speak to them. And yes, the Lord did have them there because they've been going through a difficult time. And now they were uplifted and ready to go forward. That the Lord gave them hope, that Jesus spoke to them by his Holy Spirit to assure them that they are still following him in the right place at the right time. Could that be what you need? Could you find your way to Myrtle Beach this week and visit one of our services or spend some time with us online? We have 4 services every week online, and you can join in at any time. Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m., Sunday evening, 7 p.m., Tuesday evening, 7 p.m., and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. You can access our online services by going to www.amiraclechurch.com. amiraclechurch.com. You see, we believe that we are in the midst of the miraculous will of God, where he confirms his word with signs following. No matter what you have need of, God has the answer. No matter what sickness, he's our healer. No matter what debt, he's our provider. All we do is ask in faith, asking in Jesus' name. For when we pray in the name of Jesus, we receive as he promised. So join us this week at Real Life Church. If you're not actually visiting Myrtle Beach to come into an in-person service, then come online and be blessed by the Lord.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to Real Life Radio today. If you grab a piece of paper and pencil, I want to give you some information. First of all, Real Life Radio is produced and brought to you compliments of Real Life Church. We're not asking for any contributions, but we are asking one favor. The next time you visit beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, we'd love for you to stop into one of our services. We have service every Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m., and every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Those are both in-person services located at 9644 North Kings Highway in Myrtle Beach, and that's on the corner of Lake Arrowhead Road. It's in a center called the Galleria. Now, both of these services are online as well as in-person, but we also have 2 other services totally online, Sunday evening at 7 p.m. and Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. All 4 online services are located at amiraclechurch.com. That's amiraclechurch.com. And even if you're not in Myrtle Beach, you can attend church with us. If you'd like more information, visit our church website, www.pastorfrank.com. That's pastorfrank.com. Real Life Radio is heard Monday through Friday at the same time on this same station. The Truth Network. God bless you, and start living that real life right now.